Amen. All right. Praise the Lord for another opportunity to preach the gospel, preach the message, God's word. All right. All right. Hey, please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I believe everybody had a good meal for lunch. All right, I indeed have a good meal. Thank you for Brother Rudy and Sister Lee for feeding me, letting me have for lunch. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13 to 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. Okay. Let's read together. Are you there? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. Verse 13, ready? Read. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, God prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay, so this is not about Donald Trump, okay? Trump, alright, this is about the trump of God, okay? The trump of God, okay? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. So this is, I'm going to talk about the title of our message this afternoon is when trumpets fade, when the trumpets fade, right? This is the time that the second coming, but before that there will be a trumpet, okay? And before the trumpet stops, what will happen? So the title is when trumpets fade, when the trumpets fade, right? So let's pray first before we start. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord, you've given to us. And thank you for these verses that we have read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. Thank you so much, Lord. It's your promise that you will return. And we are anticipating this. We are excited, Lord, that one day we'll be get to be with you, Lord. And pray, Lord, that you help us. Excite us, Lord. Excite us that there's a coming day that you will come, Lord, and help us to get ready, Lord. And as we hear this message this afternoon, put the words in my mouth to be a blessing, Lord, and encourage your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. When trumpets fade. Right? So the verses that we have read this afternoon give us a little insight into a future event known as the rapture. Okay, the rapture. While this word does not appear in the Bible, well, the event is real nonetheless. Yeah. So it's real. We get the word rapture from the Latin translation of the Greek word harpazo. It means just what the King James Bible says. It does. Caught up. Okay? And it says caught up is that the future event when the Lord Jesus will return in the clouds above this earth and will catch away all the saved people of the world. It is a time that is known in the Bible as the blessed hope of the Redeemer. In Titus chapter 2. Let's go there. Titus chapter 2. Verse 13, just follow me with your eyes. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so this future event will be the focus of our preaching this afternoon. Okay, while the return of our Lord is spoken many times. Okay, so for many, many times, this was spoken by our Lord in the New Testament. Okay, now there are only three passages which deal with the rapture in detail. Okay, so I've read one of those this afternoon in 1 Thessalonians, and one is also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 57. Okay, another also is found in Revelation chapter 4. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Okay, Revelation chapter 4, verses 1-2. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Okay. After this, After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as if were a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Okay, so I want to draw your attention to one common theme that punctuates each of these references. The common theme is the mention of the word trumpet. Okay, we are told in clear language that the rapture will be a time that will be heralded with the sound of the trumpet. Right? I don't know what the sound of the trumpet will be. Okay, trumpets sound very good, right? When you hear, but I don't know how good it is. But maybe it will be the most perfect sounding trumpet that you'll ever hear. Right? Just imagine when you hear that. That's a bad trumpet. But when we hear that sound, it's a signal of the time that the Jesus has already come. Okay? Now, let's have a brief talk about trumpets during that time. When the writers of the New Testament, okay, used the imagery of trumpets, the people to whom they were writing were well acquainted, okay, with what they were saying. Well, however, we modern readers need to be educated about the significance of the trumpet. Okay? Now we know trumpets in orchestras. In our church in the Philippines, we have an orchestra. We have, I think, two trumpeters. But during this time in the Bible, trumpets were used for four specific purposes. Okay? They were not used mostly in orchestras only. They were used to proclaim victory. As you know, there are many wars during this time. To call an assembly. Okay, number one, to proclaim victory. Number two, to call an assembly. Right? So that they will assemble. Maybe there's a war coming. All the soldiers will come. And to announce a warning. Okay? If there's a war coming on, there will be a warning. Okay? So this was one of the purpose of it. Okay, to announce a warning. Number four, to call the troops to battle. This was a formation sound. Like when you're in the military, they will say, "Attention!" When you hear that sound, it means that you need to stand up straight. I know here in Singapore, when you're a citizen or a PR, I think you're required to have military service, right? 2 years, I think. Okay, so you know that you need to do that, right? You need to call for attention like that. So it's sort of like that, okay? Because now, they even use it now sometimes, right? To call, assemble. But sometimes they use a horn. Okay, they use a horn. Now, it is clear to see how trumpets fit the idea of the rapture. All of four of these events will take place when the rapture comes about. Okay, victory over the world will be announced by the church. Victory. So when you hear that sound, it's a sound of victory. Number two, the saints will be called to assemble themselves in the presence of the Lord. But this will be almost instantaneous. But this will be the way to call, assemble themselves. The trumpets will announce a warning of judgment to the world. Okay. The trumpets will announce a warning of judgment to the world. And the angelic troops, number four, the angelic troops will be summoned to battle. Okay, so it's a battle. So this is the way to call them, right? We will not receive a message, a text message, "Alert, trumpet of the Lord will sound." Okay? You will not hear that, or it's not in your phone. It will be a real sound. Now, also in the society during those days, trumpets were heard on a daily basis. Okay, you only hear trumpets once in a while in our time, but during those days it was on a daily basis. Okay, so the Roman army, which occupied most of the civilized world at that time, used trumpets to carry out the movements of troops. If they were going this way, right? So if you hear it going away, it means you need to move to that direction. So it's a way to assemble, call them. Now, typically when a Roman legion move, or a group of army, there will be three blasts from the trumpets. Three blasts. Okay? The first one, will tell the troop to strike their tents. Okay? And to prepare to move. So, they will prepare to move. The second will alert them to fall in line and to fall in, and line up. Okay? So they will line up. First, prepare. Second, line up. And the last trumpet will be a signal to move out. Go. That will be the third signal. The third, the last trump. The last trump was the signal for it to move out. Okay? So notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let's go there. Let's go back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. It says there, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at what? The last trump. That's why it was told there at the last trump, because it was very familiar, especially for Romans. You know, the Roman Empire was big. They have a lot of army, a lot of people fighting. And this was very familiar for them. When Apostle Paul said, the last trump, they immediately know. The last trump is the trump to signal to move out. Okay, so that was why it was said that the last trump. Okay, now number one point. Again, the title is "When Trumpets Fade" or "When the Trumpets Fade." Number one, our Lord will have returned. Will have returned already. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay? So, this is a fulfillment of His promise. Okay? Before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, He promised His disciples that He will return. Okay? That He will return for them one day. Let's go to John chapter 4, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. John chapter 14. One of my favorite verses. John chapter 4. Wait. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. It says here, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Isn't that so nice? If your Bible is red letter, it means Jesus Christ is the one speaking. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, it's a direct, for you, I will come again." It's personal. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Isn't it so nice that, for example, a king will say, "Where I am, there you may be also." For example, the richest man in the world with a nice big house will say, "Where I am, there you may be also. You will live in his mansion." Imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will say, "Where I am, there you may be also." Right? Jesus Christ personally said that. But it's not me. My name is JC. Jesus Christ, JC. No, I'm not him. Right? Not also junior college. JC. Jesus Christ himself, not me, praise the Lord. Not me. But Jesus Christ himself said that. "I go to prepare a place for you." So the Lord decided to receive his bride unto himself. After all, he paid the ultimate price to redeem her and from her sins and to cleanse her from all filthiness. That is us. He died on the cross to purchase his bride. And he wants her to be with him in his heavenly home. So number one, our Lord would have returned. When the trumpets fade, that's the time when our Lord have returned. Alright? Number two, what are things that are happening when the trumpets fade? Number two, all departed saints would have resurrected. All departed saints would have been resurrected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. verse 13 to 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. Right? So those are the verses. Also 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. But okay, so this is their present condition. Right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." So this verse tells us that tells us those saints who have departed are asleep. Okay, so this is not so sleep. Okay, because some people say there is no literal hell; that people that have died are just sleeping. Maybe some sleep at church, but soul sleep. Okay, this is not soul sleep. Okay, it's not referring to soul sleep. It refers to the fact that their bodies are asleep. You just figure when sort of like saying. When a saint of God, okay, like this. When a saint of God leaves this world, they are immediately ushered into the presence of the Lord, okay? So this was the conviction of Paul when he said, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. It says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Okay? And also Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. Philippians chapter 1. Oh, sorry. Philippians chapter 1. I thought Philem. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. It says here, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better." So presently, all those who left this world in the same condition are in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So, now the question may arise as to what manner of body they possess. What kind of body? Alright? So, certainly they do not have their glorified bodies yet, right? So when they die, they don't have their glorified bodies yet. However, it would seem that they possess some sort of spiritual body, okay? So they have some spiritual body, but it's not their glorified body, okay? So when Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, they possessed bodies that could be seen and recognized, okay? So it may look like them, it looks like them, they are recognizable. In Matthew chapter, let's go. Matthew chapter 17, verse 3 says here, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them." This is the New Testament. So, this, they appeared unto them, but not in their glorified bodies, okay? But they have a spiritual form that was very, very much recognizable. All right. Whatever form they are in, this afternoon, they are certainly in a place free from the cares, okay? So wherever they are, what kind of bodies they have now, they are certainly in a place free from the cares and pains and burdens of this world. They are not in hell, okay? The Bible is clear when it teaches us that nothing that defileth shall enter. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. It says here, "And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or make it a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Okay? So they will not go to hell. They don't have glorified bodies yet. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we could see here their promised completion. Okay. Here's theory number 2. All the departed saints will have been resurrected. First, we talk about their present condition. Now, their promised completion. How will they become? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 says, "There in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay, so this is the promised completion. We shall be changed. So it tells us that the departed saints, those who already died, will be raised incorruptible. Okay, that is, they will be changed. So we have a problem with your body, it will be changed. When they left their body, it was destined for the ground from which it came. Okay, so it will be in the ground, okay, from which it came. However, when the Lord Jesus returns, He will bring their spirits back with Him, and He will raise their bodies and glorify them. He will then place the spirit back into those new glorified bodies. RJ, how does it work? How about the cremated ones? And they throw away their ashes in the ocean. Alright? That's not my problem, okay? How will the bodies return back to life? Okay? How will they rise? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and they were cremated, and very small piece, like just like a sand, ashes. Maybe they will come return. I don't know. But it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. So they will be changed, and the spirit is with God, put there and become, have a glorified body. Okay. Now later we'll talk about more about the future body. Okay. All right. I hope we will not get so fat. But okay. Certainly to our mortal minds, it's a great mystery. Okay. However, if you take the time to look back at the times our Lord shouted when He was here on earth, you will discover that each time He did so, dead people got out of their graves. Okay? So everybody that people raised back to life that were dead came out from their graves. For example, when Lazarus, John chapter 11. Go there. John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." So it's a loud voice. "Lazarus, come forward." Maybe something like that, right? And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, "Loose him and let him go." So, also in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. 52. It says here, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Only the power of God can truly resurrect dead people. Only the power of God. Even other religion, they haven't had a real resurrection. Number three, he will shout from the clouds. First, he was shouting. He shouted in Bethany, and Lazarus lived. He shouted at Calvary, and some lived. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So he will shout from the clouds, and all the departed saints will live. So this is the power of the Word of God, Word of the Lord. Okay. So what was our first point? Our Lord will have returned when the trumpets fade. Our Lord would have returned. And number two, all departed saints will have been resurrected. When the trumpets fade, all departed saints will have been resurrected. And number three, all living saints will have been raptured. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay? All departed saints will have been raptured. The church will live instantaneously, like in the twinkling of an eye. Hey, can you twinkle? I think it's much faster. Maybe we hear the sound. It's so instantaneous. Notice that the use of the words implies speed and swiftness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Okay, never mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, it says moment. So this word speaks of an indivisible point in time. A span of time so short that there is none shorter. Maybe a pint a second. Or what do you call it? Is it pint a second? Millisecond and other words for that. They make it smaller, but moment, very fast. Twinkling of an eye. Scientists have determined that the blink of an eye is 1/30th of a second in duration. So 1001, 1002, 1003. They said when you say Minnesota 1, Minnesota 2, Minnesota 3, that's 1 second. I don't know. But so approximately like this. I have a timer here. 31, 32, 33. So again, 1, 2. Imagine, divide that 1 second, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005. That's seconds. It's accurate. I have a timer here. So, 1/30th of a second. Imagine. Now, that's only 1 second per clap. Divide that by 30. That's blinking of an eye. Now, however, a twinkling of an eye is even faster than that. Somewhere around 1,000th of a second. I'm sorry. When I say moment is 1/30th of a second, well, a blink of an eye, 1/30th of a second. Twinkling of an eye is 1,000th of a second. Can you count to 1,000 in 1 second? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's so fast, you cannot even count it. Okay? I don't think that you could see with your eyes, computer counting from 1 to 1,000 and see all the numbers. Okay? So, it's very, very fast. Twinkling of an eye. So, then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul uses the term caught up. Caught up. This phrase means snatch away. I'm thinking very fast, like the flash. Maybe like that. Seize with force, to claim for oneself. It refers to a sudden event when the saints of God will be snatched from this world with force and claimed for the glory of God. Okay. Now, the whole idea here is one of speed. There will be no forewarning. Okay? There will be no announcement on TV. On January 23rd in the year 2018, the Lord will come. Prepare yourselves. Okay? There are many times already that they said, you remember year 2000? The coming of the Lord is in the year 2000. Y2K. They said that because the computer was only set until year 2000, all the computers will stop. Something like that, blah, blah, blah. But didn't came. So we will not see it on TV, on Facebook, coming of the Lord on January 23rd, or January 15th, or something like that. You will not see it in papers, you will not see it anywhere. There will be no announcement from the pulpits, okay? So when you hear somebody preaching here, beware, on February 1st, 2019, God will come. Don't listen to him. Because there is no date in the Bible. I saw when you put this code like this, blah, blah, blah. It's not true. Because we don't know. Okay? You need to be ready when that comes. That is the thing that we could do. Be ready. But being ready is not just sitting, standing, I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord. You sing, I shall not be moved. Why are you not going out so winning? I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord. It doesn't mean to be ready just sitting down and doing nothing. But being ready is preparing, telling others about Jesus. Especially this Christmas season. This Christmas season is time to tell Christmas season talks, actually, the main reason is because Jesus was born, right? We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. But why Jesus was born? So that people will not go to hell. People will be, can be, have a chance to be saved and be sure 100% to go to heaven. That's the main reason. So during this Christmas season, let's invite all, as much as possible, for especially this coming, you have an event, Christmas event, right? Invite a lot of people. It's also good to invite people because people are aware of Christmas. Who is the X in Xmas? It's Christmas. It's about Jesus Christ. It's easier for them. And some of them may ask, what is Christmas? So they have this thing in their mind. Some of them, you can strike their interest, and they might be easier to invite to church. So that is being ready. So if he were to come today, would he find you ready? Would he find me ready? Would he find us ready? Are we doing something that God doesn't want? Like we're in a bar dancing, and Jesus comes. Ooh. And you're in heaven, you're doing this. But anyway, you're dancing in a bar or doing something not good. You're stealing. And you're already in heaven. Where's the iPhone 10 that I was going to steal? iPhone 10 is expensive. And you're going to steal. And we're, oh, gold bar. Because you're in heaven already. So, are we ready? That's the main question. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we living a life that shows us that we are ready? So, we should not be deceived. It could happen. It could happen today, tomorrow. Don't be deceived. God will be coming next year. So others will just do things that are not pleasing to the Lord. But if, just like what Jesus, what God did, we don't know the exact date. So we should be anticipating. Later, tomorrow, God may come. What will you do if Jesus would come on Monday, tomorrow, or Tuesday? What will you do? What kind of life will we live if Jesus will be coming on Tuesday or no Wednesday? What kind of life will we live? Think about that. Maybe we'll, after work, we go straight to other people and tell about Jesus, right? Call our relatives, call our friends. Being ready. Anticipating the coming of the Lord. Will you be in that number that hears the shout? That hears the trumpet and that leaves this world in an instant? Are you sure you'll be part of us going to heaven? Make sure. If you're not saved today, please make sure. But if you're saved, praise the Lord. We'll be going there. And let's invite a lot of people to also come, to be able to come and be sure also. Now, imagine this. What will happen when all of us in an instant go to heaven? Maybe you watch some movies about that. Imagine a pilot driving a plane. And he's a Christian. And he got saved. He was saved. And Trump, when the trumpet fades, what will happen to the plane? Maybe it's a A380. Singapore Airlines A380. And everybody's living in luxury on the top floor. And they are in the first class. And the pilot was a Christian. What will happen? Maybe they're drinking. They will die. Imagine people controlling the trains, the MRTs. What will happen? Chaos will happen. But the church, all of us, will be going to heaven. We are not, will not be in tribulation. So number one, our Lord would have returned. All saints would have been resurrected. All living saints would have been raptured. Number four, all saints would have been reconstructed. Changed physically. Our bodies, this one, the physical body, will perish. and it will be changed. It will be like the body of our Lord. Maybe it will be very snappy and very muscular. I don't know. I hope I will not be fat when I have that glorified body. We're in heaven, you walk. But when we are in heaven, okay, I'm going to go faster. But in John chapter 20, verse 19, okay, let's go faster. It's very good. John chapter 20, I'll go a little bit fast, but please follow with me. John chapter, please read this. This very, just follow me with your eyes. John chapter 20, verse 19, it's very good. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, remember, the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. The door was shut, but Jesus came right through the door. So this, most probably, we will be like that. We go through the wall. And we go to the other part of the wall. We're not bound by time and space. Next, the body can enjoy food and fellowship. Praise the Lord. Glorified bodies can still eat. Yeah! Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 36 to 43. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, saying unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They were so afraid. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said, have ye here any meat? Okay? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Going through walls, but can still eat, enjoying it. Woo! That'll be so nice, right? You can go to the kitchen much more quickly. Only four doors. Eat. Right? It's a body that can enjoy food and fellowship. It's a body that can never die. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25. So, most probably in heaven there will be food that we could eat, meat. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Body that can never die. Wherefore he is able to save them the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. Next, it's a body that shines with heavenly brilliance. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. And the city have no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Heavenly brilliance. So great. So nice. You know, our eyes is limited. We could only, if you know the electromagnetic spectrum, we could only see things that if we turn off the light, no light will bounce off from the objects, and we cannot therefore see what object it is. That's how we see. Okay? The light bouncing off. Okay? And we're able to translate that into objects. But when you see the electromagnetic spectrum, it's only a small part. The light that we see is only a small part. Like X-ray, like cell phone signals. Those are light. Actually, it's far like electromagnetic signals. Now, when it goes out here, can you see your text? Oh, here's my Facebook text to... Oh, my post, my picture. Whoo! No, you cannot see it. So... But it's still there. The signal is still there. So fast, travels so fast. So that's how it is. That's how it is. Now, when we go to heaven, we could see, maybe we could see so much other things that we have never seen before. Remember when Moses was going, wants to see the glory of God? He cannot see the face. He will die when he sees the face. Why? Because the glory of God in heaven cannot be seen by our mere mortal bodies. It's so, it's not enough. The energy, the wonder of it. Have you been in a place where it's so nice? Maybe a very beautiful mansion or a very beautiful place. When you go there, wow! You are in awe. Like, for me, I like cars. Like, when I see a nice car, like a Lamborghini or a nice Mercedes, wow! Something like that. When you see something very nice, when you go to heaven, it's so grand. If you have been in another country that it's the first time you came in, that's your dream country. For example, America or France or, for example, Israel or other countries that you have never been before, and the first time you go there and you see that wonder, wow, so nice. You've been in Europe and you see the place. That's more than that when you go to heaven. And we will be changed permanently. Okay? Number five, all saints will be having a reunion. Having a reunion. And that will be great. You know, when you do a lot of effort for your loved ones to be safe, you'll meet them there. You'll meet them in heaven. Imagine. If you are a person that has spent all of your life, every day, trying to win a soul, you know that even you want only 10 people for God? Let's say 10. And one of them become a missionary, or 2 or 3. If you put, like, you know, like networking, there's some business that they, multi-level marketing, 1, then 2 person. You know that? Know what I'm talking about? Networking? Imagine, I'm not talking about networking. I'm not showing you a business, but just see, you win a soul. 10 souls in your lifetime, okay? And they win another soul. And they win another soul. Imagine the fruits of Paul. Apostle Paul. Maybe we are part of his fruits because he went to Asia. Imagine in heaven. Maybe there's a record in the book of life. It's like a networking. Oh, this is your downline. Oh, I'm your upline. Oh, you're my downline. But imagine that reunion. You gave me a track. You didn't. Maybe you forgot, but you gave me a track. You're the one, I'm sure, because we will recognize our faces. Maybe you're just a simple person, just giving tracks, sharing one person at a time. Maybe 10 souls a month, or 10 souls a year, 5 souls a year, 3 souls a year. But you're very faithful, and you try to disciple the person you shared the gospel with, and he became a pastor. Just imagine, my teachers here from HBC. They didn't know I was so naughty, going around places, talking, and maybe my teachers don't like me. I hope this kid don't go to church anymore. But he or she didn't know that God would call me. And there are others more maybe coming. Some little kids, maybe your daughter or your become a pastor, spy, missionary, or your son will become a missionary, a pastor, or he will become a faithful member of the church and will win many souls for God. You do not know. In heaven, we have a lifetime to review all of the things that had happened, like the message this morning. The things that we do here, the 70 years, we will be reviewing it for all eternity. And maybe God will show us this is what you did. When God is calling you to be a missionary, God is calling you to be a pastor, God is calling you in the ministry, you know it in your heart, there's some call. There's a, when there's a missions conference, there's somebody speaking about missions, and God is putting something in your heart. You know, God, you need to enroll to Bible school, you need to study God's Word more. There's something that's injecting to you, just a small bug biting you. And God is calling you. And you think about their job, you think about their family, and sometimes you think about, I have dreams, I want to be rich, I want to drive a Lamborghini in Singapore and drive 20 kilometers per hour in traffic. Spend all your life. It's so funny in Orchard, I see a Lamborghini and it's traffic. Spending millions of dollars for that. You have those dreams, but not so, it's useless when you go to heaven. God will not talk about your Lambo, your Lamborghini, your Mercedes, your Audi. God will not talk about how many Mercedes did you have in your lifetime. God will talk about how many souls did you win for God, how much money did you put in a mission plate, how much money did you spend for God, how much time did you give for God. If you are living for God right now, it may be hard. Teaching kids, serving God. Sometimes you need the money, but you still give it for mission. Give it, you're the tithe. Lord, my wife is sick, my husband is sick, or my children are sick, I still give this. You become faithful. You do not know where that money will go. You do not know where your faithfulness will go. And I'm a product of HBC, not HSB, Heritage Baptist Church. By God's grace, I was able to follow God's will, and this church has been a big part. You do not know who's next. Do not know who's next. And please, let's do our best for God. When the trumpets fade, are you ready? Are you ready? Let's be ready. And we do not know how God may use us. Let's be ready before the trumpet. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for letting your Son die on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we pray that you help us be ready for the coming, for the second coming of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you use us as an instrument. If you're calling somebody to be a missionary, I pray, Lord, that he or she will surrender. Or you want somebody to do to have a part in the ministry here, Lord, please help him or her overcome the fear, overcome the pressure, and be able to follow your will. Doing things for you is the best thing to do in the whole wide world. And we will celebrate it, or we will enjoy it for the rest of our lives. We may endure for a season, but joy comes after that for eternity. Help us, Lord. Encourage us. Remind us about that. That we will live our life for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much.